There's no doubt that our world is in a time of crisis right now. And all eyes are on the Middle East to see what's going to happen over there with Israel and Hamas. And as I said before, many of us are filled with anxiety and a little bit of worry. But this is not a time for anxiety and doubt. It is not a time for worry. It is not a time to wonder what's going to happen. Everything is happening in His time.
Welcome to the weekly podcast of Independent Methodist Church in Macon, Mississippi. It is our hope that this message will encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus Christ.
And our title this morning is In His Time. Friday night, the Israeli military began expanding their incursion into Gaza territory. This came just hours after they had conducted a second raid just within the same number of days, indicating that they would be soon moving into a full ground invasion. And then last night, the Israeli Prime Minister spoke to their nation, and he told them that the war was entering into second stage. And all of this seems to point to the fact that this full-scale ground invasion is imminent. It seems the conflict, too, could spread outside their borders. As our government announced that our planes had conducted some strikes in retaliation for some of the Iranian militias that were backed militias that had struck some of our bases in Syria and Iraq. And so our planes have done some strikes in retaliation for that. A spokesman for the Pentagon made this statement. He said, "It is our aim to avoid any regional expansion of Israel's conflict with Hamas, but we stand ready and prepared to protect and defend our partners and our interests, and we'll act to do so." He said, "We'll take all necessary measures to defend our troops and our interests overseas." When chaos and confusion and all types of evil fill our world, it tends to have people focus a little bit more on Bible prophecy, thinking about end times, and those thoughts begin to surge in people's minds when you see things like this, when times like these happen. People start wringing their hands in fear over what's about to happen, and wringing their hands in fear and worrying about whether Jesus is coming back soon, and worrying about whether the end of the world is near. Back in December 22, less than a year ago, the Pew Research Group conducted a study, and they found that in times like these, when there's some type of difficulty or conflict or some type of thing that causes people anxiety, people tend to focus more on the end times. And they cited the coronavirus pandemic. We're tired of hearing the coronavirus, but they were using that as a gauge for how things worked back then when that was going on. I have no doubt if they were to conduct that same research right now that this conflict going on in Israel would be high on the list as causing people to search for answers and to try to find out what's going to happen. And so we need to be remembering this morning that everything's going to happen in His time. Whether it be in our own personal life or whether it be in the national life or globally, everything happens in His time. It's not a time for worry or anxiety. We need to be focused on what God's timing is. So we're going to read this morning from Daniel chapter 9. We're going to read a good bit of the verses out of that chapter. And as we use that as our backdrop for our message, I want us to see three things that it's time for us to do as we look into these things. So let's read together Daniel chapter 9. Read the first few verses and then we'll skip over some. Starting in verse 1, it says, "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. And the rest of that, starting there in verse 4 and going on, is recorded for us, Daniel's prayer. He confesses the sin of the people and talks about how they had not listened to what God had told them. He goes on and he says, Lord, forgive us. You're the righteous one, we're not. And he asks for God's mercy and for God's forgiveness. He talks about how they rebelled against him. He talks about how all the curses that he had sworn, all the judgments that he had written in the law of Moses had come to be because he poured them out because of their sinfulness. And then in verse 19 of Daniel chapter 9, as he finishes up his prayer, let's skip up back to verse 15 there. O Lord, our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. Verse 16, O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Verse 19, O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 70 sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy One. Know and understand from this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the Anointed One will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Let's pray. Lord, as we seek answers this morning and we learn what time it is, Lord, help us to glean from your word the truth that you have us to hear. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 talks about time. And it says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And there's no doubt that our world is in a time of crisis right now. I don't think any of us would deny that. And all eyes are on the Middle East to see what's going to happen over there with Israel and Hamas. And as I said before, many of us are filled with anxiety and a little bit of worry. We watch the news, it just makes it worse. But this is not a time for anxiety and doubt. It is not a time for worry. It is not a time to wonder what's going to happen. Everything is happening in His time. But there are three things that I think it is time for us to do this morning. And I want to talk about those a little bit this morning. The first thing I think It's a time for us to understand God's plan for the Jew and for you and me. It's time for us to understand God's plan. Now, Daniel was in a time of crisis. He'd been reading through the prophet Jeremiah, and he had determined that God had foretold through Jeremiah that they would be in exile for 70 years. Now, you remember Daniel was in that first group that was taken captive. So he's been in Babylon this whole time. He knows when he went. And he knows that the end of that 70-year period is getting close. And he's wondered, what in the world is going to happen next? Kind of like we wonder, what in the world is going to happen next with all this that's going on in the world? And that's told for us in Jeremiah 25. He said that the word of the Lord had come to, this is Jeremiah speaking, the word of the Lord had come to him over and over, but the people wouldn't listen. And the word of the Lord had come to all the prophets that God had sent, and they wouldn't listen. And then picking up in Jeremiah 25, verse 8, he says, therefore the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north, and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And I will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy. I will banish from them the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, the sound of millstones and the light of the lamp. And in verse 11 of Jeremiah 25, he says, this whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And so Daniel realizes that he's at the end of this 7-year period. He's getting really close. But he can't see the way forward. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And so he seeks to try to get some understanding from God. He begins to pray. He realizes it's a time to understand God's plan. But he doesn't know what God's plan is. And that's what he's praying for. In verse 19, we read just a minute ago, he says, O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay. And the scripture says that based on his prayer, Gabriel shows up and gives him the answer. Helps him to understand God's plan for the Jews, for his people. And so he tells him about the 77s. That's commonly referred to as the 70 weeks of Daniel. You've heard other preachers talk about that. Totals up 490 years. 70 groups of 7 years. 490 years. And he talks about what's going to happen to the Jews, to his people, he says. And so to understand God's plan, we've got to see what's happening with the Jews and what's going to happen with the Jews so that we can understand what's going to happen with us and understand God's plan for us. All the Bible scholars that you read have kind of done the math. So we don't have time to go over the math this morning. Just touch on it a little bit. The decree to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem was given, and it was mentioned in Nehemiah chapter 2. And scholars have done the math, and they know that that was in the year 445 B.C. Specifically, in the month of Nisan, which is it's going to be starting March the 14th of 445. And it took 49 years just to rebuild the wall in the city, just like Gabriel said. And then he says there's going to be another 62 weeks of years, which is 434 more years. Now these years they're talking about are 360-day years, is what the Jews use on their calendar, 360-day years. And when you do the math on all that, all the while God's time is clicking, his clock is ticking. And you get to the point in time where Jesus rides in on that colt of a donkey. On the exact day that Gabriel predicted here and prophesied here. 173,880 days from the time that the decree was given to rebuild the wall. Jesus rides in on a donkey. And then just a few days later, as we all know, he's crucified on that cross, right on time. There's still, we total all that up though, that's 483 years. There's still 7 years left to go. So what's God's plan? Most scholars tend to believe that God hit the pause button for the Jews once that veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, because they had rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And so they most scholars say we're in the church age right now, which is God has hit the pause button on that timeline. And when will it start back over? It'll start back over when we're raptured out. And that last 7 years will take place. That's when God's going to deal with the Jewish nation again, in that final 7 years. It's a plan for the Jews, but it's also a plan for us. Listen to Romans 11 and verse 25. Paul is speaking to the Romans. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. He says, Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. You see, God has a plan for the Jew, and he has a plan for you and for me. It's all based on his time. It's all based in his time, not ours. When the number of people that only God himself knows comes in, the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, when the church is complete, and God has the number. God knows the number. He knows the very person that will be the final one to come in. We don't know. Nobody knows. Jesus said he didn't know. No one knows but the Father in heaven. And at that time, when that final one comes in, then God will turn to Jesus and say, Son, go get your bride. And he'll step out on the clouds. And the dead in Christ will rise. And those who are alive at that time will rise to meet him in the air. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And that's when that last 7 years will start. God will hit start again on that clock. And it'll start ticking. Just like Daniel found himself at the end of that 70-year time period, he wanted to understand God's plan. We find ourselves nearing the end of the time of the Gentiles, the church age. And maybe this morning, maybe here, maybe in Macon, maybe in some other little church, in some other little town in this country or around the world, maybe that final one will come in. Nobody knows but God. We just need to be ready. We need to make sure that we're part of the bride of Christ. We need to understand God's plan, because it's coming. We sing that hymn, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. So my question for you and for me this morning, will we be there? When that roll is called, will we be part of the family of God? Because that's God's plan for us, for you and for me, to be part of the family of God so that we can be ready when that time comes. Not only is it a time for us to understand God's plan, but the second thing I've had you to see, it's a time for us to pray for God's peace. The majority of that Daniel chapter 9 is a prayer. Verse 14 through 19 is Daniel's prayer, one long prayer to God. And mostly of it's confession. Confession of their sins. And humbling himself before God. And pleading for God to intercede. We need to pray for peace, just like Daniel was praying for peace. He was seeking some peace about the situation. He knew that God had said it was going to last 70 years, and the 70 years was about up. He's thinking to himself, I don't know what's going to happen next, God. Give me some peace about it. Pleading with God over it. He pours his heart out to him. And with this conflict going on in Israel right now, we may be feeling the same way. Thinking, what in the world's going to happen? And we're pleading with God for peace. A lot of times we pray for national peace, and we should. Psalm 122 and verse 6 says this, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? 122 verse 6, Psalm. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who you love be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. But not only should we pray for national peace, We need to be praying for personal peace as well. Personal peace. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We turn it all over to Him and ask Him. He'll give us that peace. It's beyond understanding. That personal peace. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We find ourselves in difficult times in our lives. And we can't see what's ahead. And all we can focus on is our problem. When you can't see around the bend and all you can focus on is your problem, you get to dwelling on it. And you get to playing that problem over and over in your head. But instead of doing that, we need to be praying for peace. National peace, personal peace, global peace, and God can give it. Because He's in control. Everything's in His time. We need to be praying for that. We need to keep our minds focused solely on Him. Listen to Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. We keep our minds on Jesus. He will give us that peace. Jesus said to the disciples in John 14 and verse 27, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. And he says, I do not give you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And Jesus makes that same promise that he did to the disciples. He makes that same promise to us, to give us peace. We need to be praying for peace, personally, nationally, globally. And the third and final thing, not only is it a time for us to understand God's plan, not only is it a time for us to pray for God's peace, I'll tell you the third thing we need to do. It's a time for us to trust God's timing. We need to trust His timing. God is never late. He is never early. He's always right on time. You remember when Lazarus died, and Jesus tarried a few days. And by the time he got there, it was 4 days. And Jesus said, roll away the stone. They said, hold on, Lord. He's been dead 4 days. He's going to stink. But Jesus knew He was right on time. He was right on time then. He's always right on time. He came to this earth right on time. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 says this, but when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. He was born on time. He rode into Jerusalem on time, 173,880 days, from the time the decree was given to rebuild the wall, right on time. He died on time. He rose again right on time, the third day, just like He said. And He's coming again right on time, in His time, not ours. Everything that has happened is in His time. Everything is happening in the Middle East and in Mississippi and in Macon and in our own lives is right on time, in His time. Because His timing is perfect. We just need to trust His timing. You know, we're going to move the clock next Sunday. Central Daylight Time is what we're on now. Central Standard Time is what we're going to be on next Sunday. None of that matters. CDT, CST, we're on HT, His time. And it never changes. It's set in stone. Do you understand God's plan? Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Are you praying for God's peace? Because He's the Prince of Peace. He can give it to you if you ask Him for it. And lastly, are you trusting in God's timing? He calls us to let go and surrender all. To let Him be Lord of our lives. Let Him be Lord of our life. In His time, He'll make all these things take place. We need to cast our cares upon Him. Have you done that fully and completely this morning? That's what He calls us to do. Each and every day. Don't turn Him away. Be ready when that roll is called up yonder. make sure you're going to be there, because he lives and he's interceding for you and me right now. And everything is going according to his plan and according to his time. Let's pray. Lord, you're gracious to us to allow us to worship you. And Lord, to know that we can understand your plan. It's laid out for us in Scripture. And we can have peace when we ask you for it, pray for it. And Lord, help us to trust your time, because your time is always right. It's always precise. And there's nothing that happens in our lives personally or nationally or globally that you're not in charge of. You're never late, you're never early. Help us to trust that, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I ask you. Amen.